Foreign Minister, welcome to Conversation With.
Thank you. Thank you for this honor.
Internationally, people think this is a very interesting situation where Malaysia has an almost prime minister in waiting. Mm-hmm. Is everything on course to current prime minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir, actually stepping down in 2 years to make way for the new prime minister, so to say, the prime minister in waiting, mm-hmm. Dr. Anwar, to come in?
Well, there are two things. Number one, we have never actually decided as to the time frame. And we trust that the two iconic leaders, they know each other better than anyone else. And I'm optimistic that they will know as to when one will go and one will come in.
So and, the 2 years and, is
and,
not?
And number two, I have not heard of any other candidates.
So if I can make that clear, sir, so that is means that the 2 years is flexible?
No, we are not even 100 days yet.
So you're not even wanting to talk about the handover time?
No, I think the two, Anwar and Mahathir, they know each other very well. People are, you know, very optimistic that they will be handing over and that this understanding will be upheld.
Okay, so in other words, you're saying that the handover will take place, but you don't want to be pinned down on the timing?
Yes, we learn that it's easy to promise, but it's not easy to implement. And in this case, the substance is more important than the timing.
But will PKR, which is the largest component party of Pakatan Harapan, will they be able to be patient, the people who voted for PKR?
Well, PKR was one of those who mooted the idea of an incoming prime minister. It is a very rare occasion where you have this kind of arrangement, and I happen to come from PKR, and to the best of my understanding, I have not been hearing any, if there are any other, ideas.
10 promises in the manifesto of Pakatan Harapan, mm-hmm. and in 100 days. Mm-hmm. You're getting very close to these 100 days, sir.
Yep.
Are you going to be able to fulfill these 10 promises?
Well, if not all of the 10, we have already done 2. 6 are already being, we have started somewhere within the 6. The other 2 is quite sticky, it's not going to be, it's quite tough. But at least I think before the 100 days is over, I think we will be able to at least start the process. Yeah.
For all 10. Including things like minimum wage and...
Yeah. You see, for the first time, the Malaysian cabinet discussed minimum wage in the real sense. Yeah. But it is not easy. It's very delicate. So we have asked the minister to actually bring it back to the consultation and come back probably next week or a week after next. And I'm not saying that because of that, we will be able to resolve everything within 100 days. But just like ratification of the International Human Rights Convention. When I came as Minister of Foreign Affairs, one of my first announcements is to say that we are committed to sign all of the 6.
And with regard to PKR, there's going to be party polls,
yes,
in August. So the question there is that you have indicated that you are willing to throw your hat into the ring for one of the central posts. Mm-hmm. May we ask, what is the post that you think that you would like to have?
Well, I'm going to spend about a week in Singapore. By the end of my stay, I'm sure I will have some kind of idea. Singapore is a good place to visit to make decisions.
Oh, why is that, sir?
No, I'm just joking. Yeah. Yeah. But I think, I will be making my decision. By the way, I go back on Sunday, and Sunday is the day where we have to submit our nomination.
But you are going to be throwing your hat in the ring.
I am seriously thinking of standing.
Do you think the current sort of jostling that we're seeing between certain factions within PKR, is that distracting?
Wow, that is a very interesting question. Factions.
Well, it's been described as such.
Oh, yes.
You see,
I understand,
you know, economics
that.
Minister,
Kanali,
Rafizi Rami.
Yeah.
These are natural speculations, not mm-hmm. only by ordinary voters, but mm-hmm. also by mm-hmm. commentators who analyze mm-hmm. and look at it.
Well, this is the first time I'm participating in the PKR election. I think my seniors will understand this matter better than I do. But I believe, you know, being a democratic party, there are rooms for people to campaign, there are rooms for people to stand, to nominate themselves or to nominate others. I believe it is so far, as far as I understand it, it's still very healthy.
You've talked about a mature democracy and a mature electorate as well. But what does this new democracy, you know, really mean, this new politics? At the moment, I'm afraid, internationally, Malaysia is known for corruption scandals. And how are you, as foreign minister, going to change that?
I think the government as a whole, there is this collective understanding that we need to do reform, and real reform, institutional reform. There's a range of things that we need to do. We are already starting reforms at the parliamentary level. So it's parliamentary reform. For the first time, we are appointing the opposition chief as the chairman of the Public Accounts Committee. Never done before. But beyond that, we are looking at we are revamping the Election Commission. You see, my passion and my belief is that one of the biggest problems in Malaysian politics is politics of race. And it becomes worse when politics of race is complemented by religion. Yeah. So you have race and religion on the one side, and of course democratic goods on the other side. So it's a contestation. I think it is about time that we put an end, we put a stop to politics of race, and this is not impossible. I believe there are three motivation factors that will, you know, bring Malaysia to a new kind of politics. Of course, there are many ways of looking at what is new. One is you need to have a good number of strong, credible political parties that are truly multiracial and multireligious in this membership and also in this outlook. And we already have that. At least three of them are, or two big ones are already in Pakatan Harapan. And the other two are also open to people of other race and other religion. Number two, you need a system which will then motivate people to campaign and to work across ethnic and across religion. Unfortunately, the current system does not provide for that. I give an example. In the last election, we have 222 parliamentary constituencies. Out of that 222, only 83 are mixed seats. In our definition, mixed seat means no one ethnic group command 70% or more of the voters in that particular constituency. We won 73 out of those 83. Now, according to my colleague Ong Kiang Ming, if the EC was fair in the delimitation exercise, we could probably have about 140 mixed seats. So can you imagine, I'm not saying we will win most of it, can you imagine the motivation if we have half of the parliamentary seats are mixed seats? You will have less of this politics of race and religion.
Well, if I were to bring an opposing view on that, sir, but wouldn't that just be if we redraw the lines again, it's just gerrymandering to benefit Pakatan Harapan?
No, the current delimitation and drawing is actually because of gerrymandering and malapportionment. So if we can go away with gerrymandering and malapportionment, this is where Kiang Ming's argument came into the picture. You have more mixed seats, and that is the real Malaysia. So when you look at the boundaries of the constituency, then you will see that it makes sense, that it looks in a certain way. Yeah, it's rounded or it's a perfect, I mean, not a perfect square, but it's more proportionate.
But sir, Pakatan Harapan voters, those who voted for your parties, they may be persuaded that race-based or religion-based politics is undesirable. But how are you going to convince all the people who still voted for UMNO and for PAS that is the case?
Well,
and they're very substantive numbers as well.
Oh yes,
still.
Of course, I understand that. And but in politics, you don't get 100%. Yeah, it is the majority. And I think the majority of the people, the Malaysians, are looking at this kind of transition towards politics that is more inclusive, politics that is more intelligent, if you like, knowledge politics, if you like, yeah, and not politics that is based on money, corruption, patronage politics, a feudalistic way of doing things. I think majority Malaysian wants to bring the discourse to a higher level.
But you yourself, sir, I mean, in 2013, you lost your seat to PAS. Mm-hmm. And that's very clearly where people were making an expression of some kind of a religious statement as well, mm-hmm. or at least they mm-hmm. wanted to have politics. Mm-hmm. Should mm-hmm. not be secular, mm-hmm. and should have a strong mm-hmm. religious element.
Even in the current situation, the GE14, I must admit, not everyone who voted for us, they vote for us because they want us. Some voted for us simply because they don't want the BN. So the same thing was happening in GE13. There was this wave, yeah, and the same wave was there in GE14. Now, but a responsible government and responsible politicians and responsible political parties would seize the moment not to manipulate, you know, but really again to motivate the people that, look, there are other ways of looking at politics. And, you know, our journey towards a mature democracy does not stop here. I happen to believe in what Huntington was saying, that in order for a democracy to be mature, you have to undergo, some people may think, what is this Chief Secretary of Pakatan Harapan talking about the possibility of losing the next election? No, what I'm trying to say is, in order for a democracy to genuinely mature, you need to undergo at least two times where you change government in a peaceful and orderly manner.
So if I understand what you're saying, sir, you're saying that this example, for example, of Pakatan Harapan coming in, mm-hmm. in a non-violent way, mm-hmm. in a democratic process, yeah. is not proof yet. We still need to have it happen one more time? BN needs to be able to come back in, and that would prove that Malaysia is
democratic? All I'm trying to say is we need a worthy opponent. A strong Barisan Nasional is a good thing for democracy in Malaysia, because we need this check and balance. You know, we don't want to arrive at a situation whereby Pakatan Harapan will be so relaxed because the opposition is weak. That is not good for democracy.
What are you going to be talking about to the Chinese foreign minister when you meet him in the next few days?
Firstly, basketball.
Okay, you're both very fond of basketball?
No, I used to play basketball.
Yes.
But I run the National Women Basketball League. But no, that's on the sideline. But I think we want to impress upon him that we treasure the bilateral relationship between Malaysia and China. The formal bilateral started in 1974, but our history has gone back like 2,000 years ago. And we want to cherish that, we want to celebrate that, and we want to bring the relationship, the ties, to greater heights. There may be some issues in between those times and today, but I'm sure if we can look at the bigger picture, whatever issues, whatever problem will not be a stumbling block. And there are ways where we can overcome one or two issues that are already on the table.
Well, what do you mean by overcome, you know, these issues that are on the table? Because it hasn't seemed that way in the past few weeks, if you talk about renegotiation of many of the very large contracts.
I think we want to look at those agreements. The idea is, this is not about stopping contracts. This is not about blaming the other side. I think this is about asking China to allow some windows for discussion, to review some of the contracts, to look at how we can come up with a win-win kind of a situation. We believe we can do that. We, as I said, the relationship has been very good. And in fact, we want to look at many other issues too. China, just like Singapore, Malaysia and ASEAN, we are faced with a trade war, which does not start here, neither does it start in Beijing. And on that score alone, there are many elements and many factors that we can bring to the table. So yes, there are one or two issues we need to negotiate or renegotiate rather, but we're also looking at the bigger picture.
If I can bring you back, so to the renegotiation, so to put it in colloquial terms, how much of a haircut is Malaysia looking for some of these contracts? Are you looking for a 10, 20%, 40%? You know, where will Malaysia be satisfied with the kind of renegotiation?
I think we want a win-win situation. I don't have the numbers. We have to look at it, you know, case by case.
What about China's influence in Malaysia because of these many deals? And there has been also some implication that it's some of it has been under the table. Are you concerned about that influence, and what will you say to Foreign Minister Wang Yi about that level of influence in China, in Malaysia?
Well, I'm glad that you bring it up, because as a foreign minister, I may sound less politically correct if I were to bring it up to this discourse. But I think the issue is really about rule of law. And as I said, or as previously said by our Prime Minister Tun Mahathir, we are not interested in wish hunting. Our interest is really the interest of the people.
Foreign Minister, thank you very much for being on Conversation.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Yeah.